Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com as well as www.freedomslips.com, Studio B Revolution Radio. Today is Thursday, January 14th, 2015. And for all of you who have jobs out there, tomorrow is, as you know, payday. So, I gave the wrong date. It's 2014, 2000. It's January 14, 2016, not 15. I screwed up. That was my error. Anyway, our guest today, reporting live from West Africa, is a Veterans Today contributor, Alex Powers. Alex, how are you? Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Hey, why don't you kill your camera because it eats bandwidth? There you go. There we go. There we go. So how you doing? What's new? What's a good word?
Well, do I sound fine?
You sound good. You sound good. I hear some barking dogs, but hey, that's okay. I got that occasionally myself.
Yeah, the puppy has now learned to speak.
Uh-huh. Well, they grow up. They do grow up. So what's going on in West Africa? What's news?
Well, you know that Boko Haram has killed more people than ISIS, or Daesh, or whatever the hell we call them. And yesterday we had some rebel problems in the border of Cameroon. But those guys will probably get mopped up by the end of the week. And I think Boko Haram's falling is pretty weak now because they just use retarded women. Literally, I hate to use that word retarded, but they are like mentally sick, mentally feeble-minded people, and they strap them with bombs and then drop them off the markets and blow them up. So I think the day of Boko Haram is pretty much over. And I don't know. You know, things will get back to normal. And
let's ask a hypothetical question. The rise of Boko Haram was pretty much parallel to the rise of ISIS-Daesh. Do you think that there is a connection with the Russian pressure on ISIS-Daesh that's drying up funding for Boko Haram?
I do, and actually Russia quietly has been arming Cameroon with all types of weapon systems, and the president has met privately with Putin, President Biya. So I think, because the issue was the Saudis and the Americans were active in setting, well, I shouldn't say American, I should say neocons, because the whole neocon crowd has been involved in all this for a while. I think they, you know, according to WikiLeaks, State Department records show that Boko Haram was financed originally by Saudi and the United States, Saudi charities and U.S., you know, the secretive money, slush funds. So that's all on record. I think the Americans got what they wanted. They got to put their drone bases here. And I don't know what the Saudis got out of it, but whatever. You know, I don't know what they get out of anything, frankly. But I've told you that many times on your radio show that they're a bunch of useless people. But who's going to argue with me? You know, they chop your head off if you
argue with the Saudis. Yeah, they give you a haircut right at the collar line.
Yeah, I went to school with a bunch of Saudi princes in high school. They were I don't know, you know, nothing special, but had a lot of money.
Well, there you go. You know, there you go. So, as far as the funding for Boko Haram, you know, this is all neocon invested. You know, that's another name for the neocon, as I call them, is Khazarian Mafia. These are, like I said many times, these are the grandsons of the Bolsheviks who destroyed Russia, and now they're here. Now they're in the USA, and you know, they're everywhere. They've really infiltrated every country in the world, it seems, and. You know, this little thing called Israel is just the tip of the iceberg, and like most icebergs, 90% of it is still underwater. We don't see it, but it's there.
Yeah, but you gotta ask the question: who benefits? And again, the United States.
Who benefits, and why now?
Well, Boko Haram benefited the United States
by getting drone bases.
Yeah, there was no way Cameroon. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say there's no way, because Cameroon has had a history; they've got good relations with. When it comes to bending over backwards for the Americans. But I think that this Boko Haram thing definitely made it easier, and it helped the defense industry. Although it didn't, I mean, it didn't help the, I guess it did benefit the French and the Americans and the Russians. So yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I still don't know what the whole purpose of it was, because I still haven't figured it out. Because they kill the Muslim, these Boko Haram people kill Muslims. So it's like, I'm not really sure what their angle is, you know? So just really radical, fundamental type of like, just kind of like, they're not even really religious. They're more just sociopaths. But I think a lot of them were shipped in there. I think a lot came from Somalia. We had evidence early on that the French were involved. They had that there were weapons transports coming in from Bahrain. There's all types of stuff going on behind the scenes out here. But I tend not to stick my nose in everything anymore. I mean, I do sometimes. I hear stuff. I don't mind reporting it, but. I can't. There's so much going on clandestinely in Africa that it's shameful. But no one stops it. No one says
Well,
anything, at least in the West.
the thing is, what's the Chinese presence like there these days? How have the Chinese done? I mean, they took a different foreign policy approach there than what the West did. You look at how the French went in, the British went in. It was all colonial. The Chinese, here we are in today's day and age. How is their approach faring? Are they doing well? Are they doing poorly? Is their approach better, worse? What?
I'm gonna say it's a 50-50. I'm gonna say it's. Seriously, this dog is like annoying me. I would say it's 50-50, because a lot of Chinese groups actually failed because they were able to get, like, early in the big Africa rush in the 2000s, everybody wanted to get in, and the banks were willing to write checks for companies to come to Africa. But they didn't plan on the fact that there's basically no infrastructure here. That even though the government may give you authorization, the local village may not approve it and fight you on it. Africans don't like Chinese people at all. They really hate them. They think they're the cheapest, disgusting people. And it's interesting. These Chinese people that come to Cameroon, they live poorer than the Africans. They have like, I once saw like eight of them on a motorcycle. It's like 20 cents to ride a motorcycle. I had eight of them on like one motorcycle. It was not eight. It was like at least six. And they had a baby in a bucket. They were carrying the bucket with baby in it. And like,
God.
and the thing is that they're so cheap, nobody really likes them. They always have problems. They get murdered. Like white people and stuff, they don't like the Africans like. They're cool. They don't like the French, but they're cool with white people. They like, and most foreigners, but they don't like the Chinese. They have no problem with the Indians, but there's something because I'll tell you, and this is Chinese. I'm not talking about American Chinese who've grown up in a different, culture. But regular Chinese people are like, they're very, very difficult, and they're like very strange. They're very isolated. They're very clannish, and they're racist, and they don't know how to. They don't know how to jive, okay? I mean, like, part of being in Africa is you got to know how to do all the handshakes. You got to know all the keywords. You got to know how to respond. I mean, it's like there's a whole art to this, right? It's like being in any culture. I'm sure they have the same stuff in China. But the Chinese don't want to assimilate, so they're not very popular. So I think China, to a degree, has benefited in certain countries like Zimbabwe and and some of the, Eritrea, they have a military base there, but for the most part, no, I don't think they've done as well as they could have. frankly.
Well, let's ask the question, you know, what caliber of Chinese are coming to Africa? Are these like, you know, the lowest peasants of the lowest out of China? Or are these people with educations and training who are here to accomplish great things? It's a worthwhile question.
It's a good question. Yes and no. There are elites coming over here to do projects. But remember, most Chinese companies are government run, or they have a long history of being. Even if they've privatized now, they're still kind of old communist type companies. But then you also have just like kind of people that just came here to trade stuff. They sell stuff in the market. They sell their counterfeit clothing and all the knockoff stuff that they've stolen from the West. They sell it here at bargain basement prices, so that the Africans can wear their slave goods. And but yeah, I mean, I have yet to meet anyone from China here that I was impressed with at all. We all are like the same. There's not a lot. It's probably about 1,000 of them.
Okay, so your opinion then is that the Chinese have not realized the success that was possible for them, and they're doing okay. They're getting by. They got a presence, but they're not taking over the continent anytime soon.
No.
Okay. But I think fair enough.
They're not taking over the U.S. I mean, they're investing in the U.S. They're buying up stuff. But they're not taking it over. They don't have that personality. I mean, I'm not an expert on China. And I don't want people to think that I'm, like, being racist by being, you know, judging and stuff. But they just don't strike me. I mean, I'm not saying they couldn't. I mean, I'm sure they could zeal up an entire, like, you know, 300 million strong army that would probably invade a country they wanted to, but they just don't strike me that way. At least the ones that are here, they're not very ambitious, or they don't have access to money. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they have the same, the Indians have the same problems. I mean, I think it's like, I think in the percentages, there's not a lot of like people that want to take on big challenges and risks and developments. I don't know if it, just you don't see it as often anywhere in the world. I mean, there's definitely a percentage of people that are doing very well in developing their own projects. But I think the way the system's designed these days, it's very complicated. Not easy to do.
No, it isn't. And boy, this country is particularly hard to do. That's one thing about a country like Cameroon that's less developed. You have less oversight. You have different, corruption's different there than it is here.
We don't have corruption.
We do. We've got corruption big time. And it's systemic everywhere you go.
You know, the thing is that for what you got, what we pay for fees in the U.S. is basically what they people call corruption here. It's like, give me $50 so I can get this stamp for you, and this license is good for 99 years. People call that corruption. It's like, that's not corruption. I mean, come on. I mean, you know better. You know just as well as I do that Washington and K Street is about as corrupt as you get. I mean, I worked on K Street for about a year. I know what it's like to wine and dine, you know, select members, you know, all the steakhouses, you know.
Oh, no, I mean, you go to Washington, D.C., and there's no shortage of really, really, really fine restaurants.
And don't forget really, really fine women. A lot of prostitution.
Yes. Yes, indeed. They've got to provide, and you know, both men and women. They got to provide the ones who are gay with what they want too. So,
yep.
Anyway, so what was it like on K Street? Tell us a little bit about your life there.
I can't mention the clients.
Okay.
Because I don't want to, because I keep in touch with some of them. But basically, the firm was well respected, but it's basically they got former members, you know, congressmen, senators, and they also have key staffers or government officials, and basically they get paid like $500,000 retainer minimum, and like it could be Mike Harrison Corporation, and they want certain rights to wire through, like for example, you have a cable company, and you want to run your cable through a national park, and you need federal authorization. They'll go and they'll drop, you know, $500,000 to this public relations firm, this K Street firm, and they'll write it into the legislation for you. they'll make sure that someone introduces that part of the legislation, you know, which is the size of a phone book, and your legislation, that little section in there will say, Mike Harris Widget Company has the authorization under this bill to wire through. And then it gets passed through Congress, the president signs it, and then booyah, you can start running your wires through federal land. And that's just one example. I mean, there's all types of, like, different rackets they got going. But yeah, I mean, that's how it's done. I mean, you could do it for less, but, I mean, for $500,000 plus, you're definitely going to get your paperwork written in, because the firm will keep most of it, but they'll definitely spend their time, money, effort giving their firm opinion to the people who are in charge of overseeing that authorization.
So do they usually go into, like, let's say at the congressional level, or do they write this in at the staff level for the congressmen and senators? What is the point of entry for legislation like this?
The staffer will actually write that in as part of the congressman's addendum to the and it's not just sometimes it's yeah. and the other example is pork. Like, for example, like they want to get one congressman's been approached by by a lobbyist and says, Rochester needs a new airport. We need you to write the pork in so that Rochester gets a new airport. And they'll say, well, Rochester's airport doesn't have a lot of traffic. It's like, well, there isn't one here. We'll stick your name on it, you know, to the congressman. So it'll be congressman's airport in Rochester, and it may not get many flights there, but somebody got the government contract to build it, and someone got fat and rich. So that's the corruption that you have, is that if you have the money, you can get whatever you want written in. Just to quickly answer your question, you'll have a staffer. The congressman will instruct, or the chief of staff. Normally it's the chief of staff, okay? Because the congressman will keep a distance on corrupt stuff. He'll use his chief of staff or legislative assistant. Somebody trusts that's inside. So they'll do – those are the ones that you take out and you – yeah, that's where the corruption. I mean, it's changed a little bit, but it used to be you could like fly them around everywhere. You could take them on islands. You could take them to places out of the country.
Junkets is what those were called. Yeah. Take them on a junket.
Now a lot of money goes to the PACs, political action committees, the election committees, that sort of stuff, because they can keep that money afterwards if they don't use it.
Well, let me ask a hypothetical question here. What would our country look like if lobbying was outlawed? How would the process change, and what would be the benefits to the people, or what would be the unforeseen consequences, the negative unforeseen consequences of it? How would things change? What do you think? What's your best guess?
You'll always have corruption. It's human nature. Nobody wants to do anything for free. Nobody wants to,
wait a minute. I do a radio show for free. Don't tell me that.
Yeah, but you don't like to do it for free.
No, I do. I'd rather be able to pull an income in off of this somehow, but I haven't been able to figure that one out yet.
You get other things. Your name's out there. You get exposure. You're on TV. There's trade-offs. I mean, sometimes media is power as well. It's not just money. Although it's become moneyed up, but before it was power and influence. You didn't go into media to get rich. You went into media so that you could be an influencer within the community. But to answer your question, I don't know how much would change. I mean, I think you have to change Congress in general, in the sense of the way people, I think the way the system's run, I mean, it's at the point where with all of these different pork legislation that's written in last minute or secretly, I think the congressmen have to be held accountable for it.
These guys don't even read these bills anymore. So, and you said something. I mean, we know that 96% of the time, the candidate with the most money wins, And so if these guys are using their PACs to grant favors to various constituencies and, you know, making their PACs, you know, fat and large and very, very, very wealthy, you know, how are we going to ever change this? This is a puzzlement for me. I mean,
well, you talk about it all the time. Look at AIPAC. I mean, they're the number
one. Oh,
I know. So, and they blackmail people. They intimidate. They use the media. It's more than just, you know, Mike Harris Incorporated trying to get, you know, some sort of contractual work. So there's all types of nefarious activities that are going on. Plus, some of these lobbying firms, I mean, behind the scenes, I don't know what sort of blackmail or strong arm tactics are used, because I'm sure that takes place. I just, you know, I don't know. And then the other factor that a lot of people don't know is that most of Congress is made up of Masons, you know? So they already have kind of a secret club going on in there anyway. I mean, George Washington. So
if you had to guess, what percentage of Congress would you guess are Masonic in nature?
I would say a large percentage of them are.
What, 60, 70, 80?
I would say a lot of them are.
I wonder if there's any way to find out.
There are a lot of gay. There are a lot of them that are homosexual. A lot of gays in Washington. Like a lot of people that pretend to be straight, but they're gay. There's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of there's. I mean, I don't know. It's a sick town, but that's what you get with. That's why, you know, Rome fell apart. Same stuff. It's, you know, spending. You know, no one has any accountability. People do what they want. People are blackmailed into doing what they're told. There's no checks and balances. I mean, the list goes on. It goes on and on and on.
Like I said, you know, it's just one of the things that I think about it is how can we change the system? See, I don't see lobbying producing any good result. And, you know, the lobbyists will tell you, so, well, our job is to educate the politicians to tell them how this legislation is going to benefit them and their constituents back home.
They
write it for them, but that's their pitch, is they you know, we justify our existence. The money we take in is because we're, you know, from, you know, let's call it the beef producers, or from you know, Big Steel, or you know, whatever. I mean, whatever interest group it is, and we've got these, you know, tens of thousands of interest groups out there competing, and everybody wants, you know, their piece of the pie. It's just and the ones who end up paying for it are you know, the American people. We're the ones who get stuck with the tab.
And the American lobbyists make a lot of money. I would say a good lobbyist makes at least $300,000, at least a year.
More than that. I would say a good lobbyist makes in the millions.
Oh yeah, but I'm saying, like, a good one though, the minimum is $300,000. I mean, there are definitely guys that are bringing in, you know, some serious, serious millions.
All right, so what is, like, the starting rate for a lobbyist? What's your best guess?
Depends on what connect you are.
Let's say you're a 24-year-old guy, you know, you're out of college, you got a graduate degree, you're pretty smart, you know, your dad used to work in a previous administration. You know, how much money can a guy like that pull in?
Well, I can't tell you that, because that's not going to fly, because that person doesn't have any experience. But here's a good example. 24-year-old kid, just got out of college, dad's a senator. Dad's chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. That kid's getting like at least $200,000.
Okay, we'll be right back. More with Alex Powers right after this short break. Stick with us, folks. Be right back. Well, good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com, as well as www.freedomslips.com. Studio B Revolution Radio. Today is Thursday, January 14th, 2016. My guest today, live from West Africa, is Alex Powers. Alex, welcome back. Hello, Alex. Can you hear me? We lost Alex over the break.
Alex.
Alex, are you there? Can you hear us? Hello, hello. Alex, we got a connection to you, buddy, but we're not hearing nothing from you. Is your microphone muted? All right. Well, we had a good connection before. I don't know what happened to it, but then again, he is in West Africa, which does not have the best infrastructure in the world. And unless we get some decent politicians in Washington D.C., that's where we're going to get. Alex, you can't hear us? Okay. All right. Well, Brett, go ahead and terminate the connection.
I hear you. I hear you now.
All right. There you go. Hey, welcome back. How you doing?
I had to restart the computer. I don't know what the internet went off.
Yeah, well, hey, like I was just saying to people, you're in West Africa and you don't have the best infrastructure over there compared to what other parts of the world have. So anyway, we got you back. Welcome.
Yep, here. I'm back. So should we talk about the Nazis, Antarctica, and the UFOs?
No, I got some more other questions. We'll get to that in a minute, but I want to talk to you a little bit about Hillary. In your opinion, is she going to be indicted?
I think so. And, the thing is a lot of people don't bring this up, but you know that one of the reasons why the Murrah Federal Building was blown up was all the Whitewater documents were there.
Okay.
Clinton was all the drugs, all the murders, all the, all the cover-ups, weapons that took place in MENA with Clinton, Hillary as well. So, do I think so? I think what's going to happen – I think right now it looks like if Trump gets the nomination, he'll destroy Hillary. He will do better against will do better against Trump?
Sanders?
Yeah, Sanders polls better against
him. Well, I think if Hillary gets indicted, I think Biden's going to reemerge.
It's possible. I think it's going to happen because Obama doesn't like because, the thing with Benghazi, which is interesting. Now, I don't know the inner details, but what I've heard is that – and these are from actually pretty reliable people – was that and a lot of it is actually documented now. But and this is one of the reasons why she's in so much trouble is that they basically they exchanged Stinger missiles. The White House and CIA were against it, but State Department did it on their own. This is the Ambassador Stevens reason why they let him get
knocked out. Right, that's Gordon and I have discussed this before, and that is that this was a weapons deal gone wrong.
Or it went right, and they just wanted everybody out of the picture. So that's why they had Stevens walked out. Because remember, the Pentagon was sending a rapid reaction force in to deal with the attack on the embassy, and it was Hillary Clinton who called them off. So the CIA was against the trans. This is at least what's being released. That the CIA was against, and so was the White House. But Clinton, the State Department, went ahead and did it because they probably either gotten bribed by the right people. That's why the foundation's is under investigation, and she's in a lot of trouble. I think she'll probably get thrown under the bus because Bill's done. Look how easy Trump destroyed Bill Clinton, just destroyed him.
Yeah, he did. a serial rapist and abuser is kind of how Trump's labeled him. And if you do the math, hey, that's what he is.
Hillary Clinton, who protected him, and went and then attacked the women that lied or that he attacked, he called them liars and just tried to destroy them. So what type of person is she? I hope so. I hate her. I don't like Sanders either. I don't understand. I like some of the things he says. I wish there was a way where they could kind of like take the best of certain candidates and put them all together, and then you had one super candidate. because I like the idea. I don't think the U.S. I don't think kids should be paying for college. I don't think they should be going into debt for that at all. I think that's terrible, and it's totally exploitive. It's debt slavery. And then we should have a healthcare system that works. I mean, come on. I mean, we're supposed to be the richest country in the world, and we have the most dysfunctional healthcare system on the planet.
We do in the Obamacare Affordable Care Act thing didn't do any good. It didn't advance the cause at all.
It was written by lobbyists for the insurance industry.
Insurance and pharma and the medical lobby wrote the bill, so they got everything they wanted. It's great for them, you know.
Yeah, they haven't read it yet, but they've signed it. So, yeah, I mean, it's in the bill. Don't worry. So that's what you've gotten. I mean, and I think Trump reaches out to a certain group of people. I was making fun of Trump earlier this morning with you. About, you know, all these guys over here are with us, okay? And that guy over there, he likes me. I made a lot of money over here. And it's like, it's kind of like my buddies from New York City, like the guys from like Queens. Mm-hmm. And I'm like they don't really get into any details, but everybody over here, you know, he's with me. That guy over there, I don't like him. You know, he's stupid looking. You know, I don't like him, okay? And then, like, that guy over there, he's cool. He's my best friend. Like, I mean, if you watch him on TV, that's how he is. He's patting people on the back. He's like, I mean, he's like, you know, I think that there's an attraction to that, but there's not a lot of substance. Now, do I think he'll probably, if he's elected, be a decent president? Probably, because he's not dumb. And he's got his own, he's not bought off. So you have other you don't have all the interests interfering with him, mm-hmm. But
since he's not bought off, he might be more independent than any of these other clowns out there who are definitively bought off, and all the Republican side is courting what's his name Adelson. They're all, you know, trying to kiss his ass. They're bumping each out of the way for a chance to kiss his butt. Well,
just wait a second. I mean, here's the thing, and this is what's resonating with Trump, and it's resonating with a lot of people, including yourself, Mike. Is that we spent like almost $6 or $7 trillion so far on the wars. We've lost a lot of good people. We've killed a lot of innocent people around the world. We've totally destroyed our international credibility. We're disliked everywhere. We've dysfunctionalized the entire Middle East, which was basically functional and growing. We've hurt the economy with our fraud. There's a lot of stuff that the U.S. has done, which instead of reinvesting within the country and developing the country, we've squandered it on just, you know, corrupt and criminal activity. And I mean, I'm glad that Jeb's not going to get the nomination, although he might try to steal it.
Boy, yeah. Well, that's an old Bush family tactic, is to steal elections.
Well, he'll try, but I'll tell you what, that guy's you can just watch his debates, just look at him. He's just, the way he acts, he's not a nice person at all. I mean, that guy's disgusting. You can tell he's like sadistic. I mean, you just tell by the way, just his personality. And of course, there's a lot of dirt out there that says he is, so it's not like I'm, you know, being overtly mean, but he's not, I mean, that whole family's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Couldn't agree more. So back to Hillary here. What do you think is going to get her indicted? Is it going to be the computer server issue? Is it going to be what was on the computer server? Is it going to be the Benghazi deal? All of the above? None of the above? What's your best guess?
They can stick her with a whole bunch of things if they want to. It really depends how badly justice wants to stick her. I mean, this is really going to come down to political numbers. I mean, if she's still strong, the problem is that Trump is going to, looks like, get the nomination. I don't see any of those guys. And I mean, I don't see Bush stealing it. He's so far back. He could, I mean, all these, you know, New Hampshire, Iowa, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I guess it's still a little early. I mean, it's not over till it's over, but I think we'll have to wait. The thing is that if Trump wins New Hampshire and Iowa and it looks pretty like solid that he's going to be president, I bet you they throw Hillary to the wolves. But if Trump falls apart and it's like Bush gaining or Cruz or something, you might see you'll probably see them leave Hillary alone. Mm-hmm. But who knows? I mean, she's already gotten enough. There's already enough out there right now to get her indicted anyway. So they could just be building a case. Remember, it takes about 9 months to build a case.
Yep.
So I don't know how long it's been since the email thing started, but she's in trouble. I mean, she's not going to – I mean, I don't know. It's going to hurt her. I mean, a lot of the public polls are pretty much have given up on her. They know that she's in trouble. So a lot of women are not supporting her. But she's – I mean, I don't know why – I don't know why people like that woman. She's gross.
Well, you know, I tell you, the reason she's in the position she's in is she had a machine, a political machine that she borrowed from her husband. And, you know, when you've got that kind of, you know, resources available to you, you've got people who will do anything to get you into office, then you've got something powerful there. And that's why she is where she is. That's how she won the Senate race in New York. I mean, she had no business even running there. She wasn't a resident. I mean, but they squeezed her on. Nobody said anything. And then Secretary of State, and, you know, she's got a powerful organization behind her, and that's what does it. But go ahead.
They probably have a lot of blackmail on people, too.
Probably got tons of it. I mean, you know they do. But the thing that I like is that the director of the FBI is promising to resign with, you know, like three layers of top management unless they indict her. So I don't think justice wants to indict her. I think justice is being forced to indict her by the FBI.
Yeah, but justice in the end has the final decision. You know, the FBI can't do anything really without – they can't do anything. They're just an investigative division.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
People don't know that. I mean, they can't even arrest you. I mean, the marshals have to come and actually arrest you after a federal judge has ordered that you should – you know, that – you know, ordered it. So it's – I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised she got indicted. She deserves it. You know, she's arrogant.
So pontificate a bit. All right, Hillary's indicted. What happens next? I mean, is it going to be a free for all on the Democrat side? I mean, you know, Sanders, he doesn't have Sanders a snowball's chance.
He polls well against Trump.
Okay.
He's playing well with Trump because Trump, look, Sanders got a big mouth too. Have you seen Sanders do?
Yeah, I have. I have actually.
He's gonna do his like Northeast, like Jewish kind of like, you know, hold up a minute, hold up Trump, hold on a second, the numbers don't add up. You know? He's gonna say something like that. The numbers, and he's going to say, slow down. You know, he'll defuse Trump because Trump is all about like over here. You know, I got this and this guy likes me. And this guy says I'm awesome. And, you know, and you suck. And, you know, that's how he doesn't have any substance. Yeah, you know, let's shut the borders. Let's kick all the Muslims out. You know, I mean, look, when I think of Trump, I think of him when he was in WWE, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yep. And that's what he's still doing. Except politics is a much heavier contact sport than wrestling is.
No, but his fan base is basically WWE fans. And, you know, an occasional, like, I mean, I like Trump because, I mean, I like that he's at least talking what I want to hear. I mean, he's at least telling me something I want to hear, you know. I mean, you got to give him credit for that. The rest of them, I don't want to, you know, they're all like, let's go bomb something. It's like, what's wrong with you people?
Well, you know, Trump has said some intelligent things. He said, we should be working with Putin to destroy ISIS. I mean, hey, that makes sense to me. That's why we made two trips to Syria, you know, is to try to get the U.S. to cooperate with the Syrian government to destroy terrorists. If we're really against terrorism.
He's a deal maker, and that would be good for the U.S. I think he'd be a good president, to be honest with you, because he's, for whatever it's worth, he's got a lot of experience in business. And, you know, right now the U.S. needs to cut some deals to get its act together. You know, we got to clear. I mean, we have no industry. We have our country's stagnant. The growth is stagnant. We're in a ton of debt. We have a corrupt financial system, including a Federal Reserve System, which I don't know if he'll get into, but I don't know what to expect of him after as a president. I mean, but I think he'd be all right. I don't think he'd be the worst.
No, I think the worst president in my lifetime, and I say this with little hesitation, has been George W. Bush. I mean, I'm no Obama fan, but you know, Obama inherited a mess that Bush created.
Lyndon Johnson's the same.
Lyndon Johnson, he's the other really terrible, terrible president of my lifetime. I'm telling you, he was awful. I mean, here's an active coup plotter who helped murder a sitting president. And he became president and passed a whole bunch of crap legislation that we're still suffering from, that we can't undo all these years later. I you know, really, we need to go back and examine our political base. And it's time to start calling a spade a spade. And until we come out and own who really murdered Kennedy and who really did 9/11, these crooks are going to keep running the show.
Well, until Americans stop picking their voting. I mean, someone made a post a couple days ago, and it just shows how naive like Americans are, and not all of them, but a lot of them. And they were like, when are people going to elect a third party to be president? We're tired of Republican and Democrat. And I was just like, I didn't write anything, but I was saying, I'm like, there are 180 American parties. There are political parties all over the United States. And there are people running for president right now that you've never even heard of because they don't get any airtime. The media doesn't even talk about them. They're just completely ignored. You know, there's no dissenting opinion, no opinion at all. It's just Republican or Democrat. And you watch these debates and it's kind of like a sporting event. You know, the prep, the show, the characters that come out, and then the post debate, like it's like a sport match. You have the pundits out there, and everyone, you know, it's like the fans are there, and the beautiful women are in there, you know, and everyone's dressed nice. It's just like, I don't know, it's just getting old. I mean, I would rather see, like, just average people just start getting more involved and just, you know, stop selecting scumbags. I mean, that's part of the problem is that the corporate system, and you get these like corporate cutout douchebags that, because I mean, I wanted to get into politics. I mean, you know my background. I grew up in Washington.
Yep, I know.
And I grew up in politics. I know a lot of like little tricks to get, like, I probably could get elected to Congress if I really wanted to, but and I had, if I had the money, like I need at least $1 million. If I had $1 million, I'd probably get elected. But what the problem is that I don't want to get elected. And I don't want to be around these people because they're awful. They're just like, they're the worst. And they don't want to do any good. They're all in it for themselves. And a lot of these times, most of these guys, the old ones that have been there forever, like they'll die in office, you know, because they're dependable because they've been completely compromised. You know, they're just owned. And I mean, they're okay with it. Like you, I mean, we talk about it on, you've talked about it before with the little slush funds and the Caribbean and stuff like that. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, these guys have all types of, because I mean, you ever notice that most congressmen, like, unless they've been indicted, which means they lose all of their like rights and stuff. I mean, they get like $300,000 in pension every year after, no matter what. Like if you're one term congresswoman or man, you get like $300,000 a year plus health care and all types of services. So you don't want to lose those if you've already been elected. So but it's a small club, and I don't think it really represents.
The will of the American people. Let me ask you another question. What do you think Trump's greatest weakness is? And I'll give you my opinion after you go first.
I don't think Trump's that smart. He inherited $8 billion from his father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and then he lost like a lot of it. Unless he went bankrupt because he was like hiding his money or something, which is possible. I don't think he's a dumb guy. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think he's a brain, you know? I'm not saying that he's not charismatic in his character, but it's not like his wives are just models. I mean, if you listen to them on the TV, I mean, they're not getting into any in-depth conversations. I mean, they're just very attractive. And, you know, maybe there's a language barrier. Maybe I'm being not nice. But I think Trump's biggest shortfall is that he's kind of WWE. And he's, okay. But I think that he's got a lot of upside to him, a lot more than he has downside. And that's why he's popular. And he's always been popular. I mean, Trump's been, he's kind of part of the American icon, when you think of American celebrity, business people, you think of Donald Trump. And I think it's not a bad thing for the U.S. I think that's why it's popular. Because I think most people are thinking,
they made criticisms about Reagan, about how he's just an actor, and here he is, he's acting to be president of the United States. And hey, people liked Reagan, and people had a lot of prosperity during the Reagan years. It was good for this country.
I don't think so. I had a meeting with Ronald Reagan for about 45 minutes. My dad worked for Reagan my dad loved Reagan. Like, Reagan was like, no one could do better than Reagan. And but I'll tell you what, if you really look at his record, it's not so good. Don't get me wrong, he was a very likable guy. I'm not saying I didn't like him. He was, handsome, and he was charismatic, and he said the right things, and he wasn't a bad leader. I'm just saying that if you look at his record, it's not so good. You have a lot of deregulation. You got a lot of shady spending. There's all types of stuff that, and that goes back. And I think that had to do with George H.W. Bush.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Alex, we got our break coming up here. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, folks. More with Alex Powers right after this. Well, good evening and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com as well as www.freedomslips.com, Studio B Revolution Radio. Today is Thursday, January 14th, 2016, and my guest today is Alex Powers, live from West Africa, and we have a special guest joining us for the next 30 minutes or so. We have Dr. Preston James, also one of the most popular VT writers and editors out there. So, gentlemen, welcome back. Or welcome, I should say. And welcome back, Alex, and welcome, Preston. So,
yeah, thanks for having me, Preston.
Hey, it's good to have you on. And, Alex, before we go on, I want to tell you what I think Trump's greatest weakness is I don't know the quality of his advisors. And if he has good advisors, he'll make good decisions. And if he's got lousy advisors, he'll make bad decisions. I look at the Obama administration, and the biggest mistake they made was keeping too many Bush holdovers in Department of State and Department of Defense and every other place. These people should have been shown the door, and Obama should have brought in his people to implement his agenda. And that's what I think the deal is. If the quality of the advisors you surround yourself is going to be the strength of any president. And if they tell you the right things that are good for the American people, that's what you'll do. Anyway, gentlemen, welcome.
Welcome. I would agree with what you had to say. I would say that I know a couple people who know of Trump, one who knows him real well, and I asked him what kind of a person he was, and he said that he used to go in his office maybe once a month or so, and he said the reason he was so popular was because as a contractor, he always kept his word. He always got the job done when he did. If there was a problem, he'd stay overnight, would get it done. That, his word was as good as gold, and I think, that's really important to people when they're dealing with someone in business. So at least that's his reputation.
Okay, not like George H.W. Bush, who said, read my lips, no new taxes. And then he turns around and raises taxes less than 14 months later. Yeah, guys like that. Yeah, I know those guys. So anyway, Preston, you and I just put an article up yesterday that's doing quite well at VT. Why don't you talk about that for a minute? And then Alex wants to pick your brain a little bit about a few things.
Okay. As you know, we've been working on some of these concerns relating to largest crime syndicate that was really first publicly identified in any major way by Gordon Duff and the when the top directors of Veterans Today went to the conference to combat terrorism and religious extremism in Damascus in December 2014. Well, it was December 2013, though, right?
No, 2014, Presta, 2014.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well, that was the first time this was ever really nailed down, and my understanding was is that what was released publicly was just the tip of the iceberg, that there were more detailed briefings and whatever, but apparently the you know, the curtain's been pulled back and the Wizard of Oz has been exposed, and you know, it has to have had an effect on President Putin, because if you look at the way that he's dealt with all the problems, he's had this long-term business relationship going with Syria. Syria has been an ally of his, and with ISIS, which was an artificial creation, synthetic creation of the United States, Israel, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia, and England, and some other NATO players, when they started using ISIS to, dispose President Assad and to destroy or balkanize Syria, and this was, you know, directly harming, part of the Russian business plan. Well, then, of course, President Putin took a very crafty action he went to the United States and asked them if they wanted to have a joint effort to and include NATO to go take these terrorists out. That could be done in a week or two. And the United States made all kinds of excuses. Well, we're already fighting them. Of course, they were bombing empty buildings, and they were dropping supplies to the wrong people and all that. Well, so then when Putin took matters into his own hands and he was asked to help by Assad, who felt like otherwise Syria was going to be overrun. You look at the very crafty action by the Russian Federation to totally checkmate, the Khazarian mafia. Completely checkmated them in Syria, and they've been stopped cold. And so right now they're calculating, recalculating, trying to figure out what to do, and probably hanging all kinds of flags and everything else. But of course, so far it's not working out too good for them. But they continue to cause all kinds of problems, and they're messing around with the various economies, whatever. And I think, you know, until the top leadership of the Khazarian mafia is brought to justice, until they're brought to justice, there's really no way.
Or eliminated. I mean, eliminated somehow. Justice, you know, those are our rules. They don't have justice. They just kill people, what the Khazarian mafia does. That's one of the points in the article, is that the rules of engagement that the Khazarian mafia imposed on the world, I think they should have to live by those same rules of engagement. That's just my opinion, so.
Well, actually, they said, I think in the first precedent that we know of was when they ran the rape and murder of all the Armenian Christians.
Yeah, that was their first. Well, that in let's just say in the modern age, that was their first foray into that. But one of the folks, the article is called Putin's Dilemma. It's on Veterans Today. It's up now, and you can go there and find it. And it's a great article. You know, Preston and I worked hard on it, and I hope you like it too. We hope you learned something from it. So, but you know, Preston, the reason I invited you on is because Alex kind of wanted to pick your brain a little bit. So I got to let Alex ask you a few questions about things that you have far more expertise than I do on. Alex, hit it.
Okay. Well, Preston, Mike and I have decided we're going to Antarctica, to New Schwabenland, try to find the Nazi secret base where the aliens and Nazis have aligned and created their secret little space race and all types of advanced technologies. So just wanted to see what you had on your you know, deep down secrets, if you'd heard stuff from people or your theories.
I've heard some stuff, some really weird stuff. I heard that there was an expedition sent down there where these researchers, I guess they leased a plane. They were going to do an overfly and take all kinds of pictures and whatever. And the plane, something went wrong with the plane's navigation and it crashed. I don't know any details about it or anything, but
there are no fly zones inside Antarctica. You know that.
Pardon me?
There are no fly zones in Antarctica.
Yeah. Well, apparently they had permission to do it.
No, I know, but what does that say when there are no fly zones inside of just like basically?
That's right. And of course, that's right. And of course, but there's. I was given an. I asked an airline pilot why they don't fly over the poles, and he said, "Well, part of it was because of the Cold War, because between you know they can go over the North Pole because of the Cold War, the air bomber problems and all that." He also said that they were exposed because there was no insufficient radiation shielding, that the crews were exposed to way too much radiation. That was the excuse.
That was because of the nature of the Earth's magnetic field being that's the thin point of it there?
Supposedly, but I think it's a flimsy. Okay, what I also heard was that, of course, Hitler was a British agent. He was run by the Zionists. The Zionist plan was to take and eliminate all the Torah Jews, put them into camps, and get rid of them. Because there's the Zionist Khazarians, first of all, they have no Hebrew blood in them. They're some kind of a parasitical race. We don't really know what they are, but they like to infiltrate religions. They've infiltrated Christianity through the Vatican. They've infiltrated every major religion there is. And they wanted to destroy the Torah Jews. And then the ones that they didn't, they wanted to craft them and mind control them and use them as a political base. So they're very crafty. But what had happened was because Hitler was a British agent, he let the Allies go at Dunkirk when he had them trapped. He believed that he had been told by the British that he was going to be joining forces with the British to attack the Russians. And I don't know why they turned on him or whatever. That's why he sent that one of his henchmen to fly over to England to sign the final agreement, and then that all fell apart. And of course, what happened is the real party recovered flying saucers in Germany in 1922, I think in Bavaria, and number of crashes and technology, and they were approached through these Vril girls, which were master seductresses, and they claimed they could seduce any human man within 20 minutes and had a good track record. Just a lot of the top Nazis and whatever. But they gave technology, but the rules, what they told them was they were representing white Nordics. And what they told them was defensive purposes to defend Germany, not anybody.
Preston, you're having some trouble with your microphone there or something.
Okay, hold on.
We're getting some interference. Have been for quite a while, but we nearly lost you there.
It's better.
Yeah,
They're fuzzing out on me. But anyway, so anyway, they were told you can use this stuff only for defensive weapons. We will protect Germany, the homeland, so everything will be fine. Well, what happened is Hitler had a number of people working against him. The people that took over the flying saucers and stuff started going their own way, but one of his primary henchmen, I forget the guy's name, got into the Black Sun type. It's a satanic cult. And anyway, so they started meeting in Wolfsburg Castle and doing human sacrifice, and they set up a hydraulic guillotine. And they beheaded 7,000 prisoners in one day as a blood sacrifice. Anyway, that was on the History Channel once, but then it's been suppressed ever since. So basically the Nazis were overtaken by these demonic forces. They went evil, and they planned to use the technology to. They were developing intercontinental missiles to bomb New York, and they were planning to. They had actually, I think, they had the first nuclear weapon designs. And actually, when the war ended, the Nazis never surrendered, but they went into business with the Americans and first later set up the CIA. But so down in Antarctica, the Nazis had a base down there, and they fled down there. And when they got down there, they had gone into business. There were an alien race apparently living underground, either inside the earth or that was a portal to a different dimension. I really don't know what exactly, but they're down there. And they were told, you can come and be part of our society, but you have to give up all your offensive weapon stuff. You cannot, you can have no evil and all this. And apparently they thinned out all the evil ones. And so that's why when Admiral Byrd went down there on Operation High Jump and he was dealt with,
They got spanked. They sent 25 cruisers and airships, and they were supposed to be down there for 3 or 4 months. They were back in 2 weeks.
Well, anyway, he lost some planes, and they got nasty with these people, or whatever they are, and they had some losses, and they were basically, told that we don't start anything, but if you want to mess with us, we're going to defend ourselves. And they did. So then apparently the story later was they went down there and nuked the Nazi base under the ice in 1952 and then made some kind of a treaty where they allowed the Nazis to have South America to run all their drugs out of them. And then the CIA went into business with them. And, of course, Galen and Mueller set up the CIA system. And all American intelligence in the CIA today is basically – was the Nazi setup, Galen and Mueller. Mueller was brought secretly to D.C. Galen was traveling in and out of the country. And George Bush, actually, that's not his name. His father came over from Germany, Prescott Bush, who was really more than a Nazi. He was really run by the Khazarians. And so basically what you have is the South Pole. Apparently, these entities are peaceful. They have the technology, apparently, to have taken over the whole world, but they don't want to. And so, I don't know whether they're just living underground a ways. I don't. You hear these stories about the hollow Earth. I don't necessarily believe that because of all the geological data. But it could be some kind of a portal. So something is going on. They're down there, and there's all kinds of these research stations down there from all these various countries. They never talk about what they're doing down there. I don't know if it's classified top secret or not, but if you try to get information, it's always blocked. You know anything about that, Alex?
Yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of issues where there's certain areas, not only in Antarctica, but also I think off the Marshall Islands. George Bush made one area completely, you can't explore it, you can't do anything. I forget the name, but you can't explore it, you can't go, nothing. It's like off limits completely. And why would this guy, I mean, he doesn't care about insurance. Why is all of a sudden that's off limits? So, yeah, I mean, the thing is that there's so much evidence now that there are aliens and alien spaceships, and we've reverse engineered, all the technology we've gotten in the last 60 years has been reverse engineered, or some part of it has been reverse engineered. And, you had Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where they were bringing all the recovered spacecraft that crashed. After Roswell, they learned their lesson, but there was a lot more crashes right afterwards. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I wish they could just lift the secrecy on it. It'd be nice to know. I mean, I think the world would be a better place.
It would. The other crowd that I hang with is all about this disclosure thing, and they're telling me that disclosure is imminent, that it's going to be happening, and that the debate behind the scenes is how much disclosure are they going to give? Is it going to be a controlled disclosure or is it going to be full disclosure? And so, like I said, I don't know what I don't know on that. And, I defer to people who know more than I do because I'm certainly not the expert.
Well, I always wonder what would happen if there was some kind of, we had the crashes out in Roswell, or I guess two or three crashes within a month or two. And the farmers, of course, had knowledge of this, but the government went around and scared them. We've had situations like on Long Island, a UFO crash back in the 70s, and they had a recovery team there, and they threatened the local people and told them, we're in a serious Cold War with the Russians. If you talk about this, you could bring danger because the Russian agents will come after you and all this kind of thing. But what would happen if there was some major screw up, like the radar seems to affect things, but let's just say some major crash in a large urban center during the day with thousands of witnesses around, then what? Then what are they going to do?
Well, you're assuming that it's real. I mean, the U.S. has hologram technology. They could fool a lot of people. I mean, there are a lot of theories that I think you guys have discussed it before with the planes on 9/11 were holograms. So, I mean, the CIA has this technology. The U.S. Air Force has this technology. They have a lot of this stuff. So the question is how much is going to be fake and how much is going to actually be real? And what's the agenda?
Still goes wrong with all this technology. It's never 100%. I mean, there's cases where thunderstorms have brought these things down, screwed up their navigation. So it would be really quite an event, though, wouldn't it? Is it possible that maybe some alien ET group is just going to say, we've had enough. We told you we wanted disclosure. You haven't done it, so we're going to take matters into our own hands, and we're just going to land in a major public area. Do you think that's possible?
I think a lot of these space creatures are living in the Earth, because they're either under the ocean or they're maybe in Antarctica or just in the mountains. And I mean, of course, there's a lot of U.S. government technology. I think that would most likely be the reality. Would be that you see a crash of UFO technology made by the U.S. or a foreign government crashing, and then we'd have to come out. But yeah, it's unfortunate because there's a lot of technology that we don't know about. I mean, from what people are saying is that we're 1,000 years behind. I mean, literally with the technology that we have now that exists.
Well, that's what Richard Dolan says in his research that, you know, and he just goes to the public record and finds stuff that this is all this money that we dumped into, you know, SDI, Star Wars, all that kind of stuff. And, develop some wonderful things that they've got a parallel society to ours now. A breakaway civilization is what he calls it.
Well, how do you think they zapped the 9/11 in New York? They took that entire area, the eight or nine buildings, and just completely zapped all of them, turned it all into dust. I mean, that was definitely an energy weapon. That was Star Wars technology. So, I mean, you know, people can go and look at that, go watch the videos, because it wasn't anything else. Veterans Today was wrong with the nukes, and we should stand.
I heard it was a new kind of nuke, Alex, that it was called a positron antimatter bomb. I had a friend that witnessed one of these.
But then why did people survive? Why did firefighters survive who were inside the building, basically thought they were covered in rubble and they were planning on how they were going to survive or how they were going to die together, only to find out that they could see the sky when all the dust cleared. And it hit every single building. If you look at the bird's eye view, the satellite imagery of it, the entire area was cleared out. There's no rubble. Right. I mean, you're talking about nine different buildings.
But there were cars. So, there were cars where there were very strange radiation effects.
Well, you know, talking to Jeff Smith, and he says that the cars burned up because of the nuclear pulse that came out, and that's what, you know, Freon has a unique reaction with when it's exposed to radiation, and so that's what caused all the cars to catch on fire, and that the largest Freon tanks in North America were in the World Trade Center.
I don't know. I'm not buying it anymore. I'm not buying the nuke thing anymore. I'm not.
No. I watched that video you showed me, and it makes sense. I mean, you know, but like I said, I think the approach of 9/11 is let's go after the perpetrators and make them tell us what they did.
Well, I know, but no, you know what? Nobody wants to do that. I mean, I think a lot of people want it, but no one will go and do it. And it makes a lot of sense with a lot of the, you know, the push. Intimate knowledge and control of that program. So, does it surprise me that they used it? No. I mean, but, you know, and there was a hurricane right off of Manhattan that day. That was kind of ironic. No one talks about that.
One thing you guys don't realize also is all these new skyscraper buildings, I think since the 80s, there's an international treaty where they plant bombs in them on purpose to bring them down in case of emergencies so the buildings don't fall sideways and harm the surrounding area.
That was Brett, the producer, and that was discussed in VT at length.
I'm not buying that one either.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, Alex. I'm not saying that I have positive proof this was done, but
I'm just saying if it was a nuke, there would have been more damage. There would have been more evidence around the world that a nuke went off. I mean, there's all types of signs that a nuke would.
Right, but you're talking about conventional nukes. There's new nukes. There's these called micro nukes, which are lithium 7, and they're
right. But
they're
how do
positron,
you explain? Okay.
They don't have much residual radiation after the first day or so, and they shift matter into a different phase. They turn things to dust. And I believe one of the elevator companies was doing elevator maintenance. I believe that they put one every 10 stories, glued it into the elevator shafts. I think they had conventional explosives too, and I think they had conventional nukes too. I think what they probably tried to do is,
Preston,
you're
breaking up a little bit. You've got, it sounds like an intermittent short
I'll
in your microphone.
Call me back on Skype because something's not working.
Okay, I'll go ahead, disconnect. We'll have Brett call you right back. But the only thing that I know, Alex, I know it was not nanothermite.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would love to see people be held accountable for it, and. But I the whole new thing, I wanted to believe it was in.
Yeah, that's better so far.
I wanted to think it was nukes, but I think it makes more sense that they use some sort of space weapon that we have in our arsenal that we don't talk about.
Do you know what the primary delivery vehicle was going to be to blow ICBMs out of the sky was for SDI? It was a nuclear pumped laser device using zinc rods as the lasing element with a small nuclear device in it. That was the primary device that was going to, upon detection that a missile had been launched, it was going to blow it up before it could clear atmosphere. That was the primary one. Was a
point, and I'll let you guys, we can discuss it. Anyone else's opinion is open. But if it wasn't a space weapon, I don't see how they could have blown the buildings up and then left basically the bottom parts not really damaged. There's no actual physical explosions. It goes from the top all the way down on all 9 buildings. Okay, and they all turn to dust and very quickly. So that's what's got me. So I don't know. I would find it hard to. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
There's one problem.
Space. Every blast gives off a certain series of gamma rays, neutrons, in a various formula, and they can actually immediately know exactly what went off. And the word that I got was that they knew that there was advanced multiple nuclear charges used, and these antimatter bombs, you should check into it. They're a lot different. They do not explode; they implode, and they cause.
Yeah.
They're not anything.
A snook. Remember those from that movie that sucked the whole island up?
No, what movie was that?
That was a great movie, actually. God, I can't remember it, but maybe one of your listeners remembers it. But it's like a special forces unit that goes good, and then they get kicked out. It's a cartoon.
Oh, okay. Well, no wonder I haven't seen it. Last time I watched cartoons, my kid was about 4 or 5 years old. So
based on a cartoon, but The Losers.
Okay.
For you guys, did you ever hear any rumors about the real reason that there was a war over the Falkland Islands between England and Argentina, and there was talk of some kind of alien.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard it too. I've heard it that there's some sort of black goo. Brett can chime in on this. He seems to know more about this than anybody I know. All right, well, Brett can chime in after this break. We'll be right back. More with Alex Powers and Preston James. Stick with us, folks. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Well, good afternoon, or good evening, rather, and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on VeteransToday.com, as well as broadcasting on www.freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. My guests today are Alex Powers and Preston James. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thanks.
Hey. Anyway, Brett, you know, you were the guy who knows more about black goo. Why don't you chime in here a little bit? Brett's my producer. He's always in the background.
What do you want to know, guys?
Oh, well, Preston, you why don't you ask him the question you just asked before the break?
I can't hear him.
Preston? All right, Preston, we're not hearing you right now, Preston. Can you hear us? He's having microphone problems. I've been having them all day. So
anything?
No, now you're better. Now you're back. Come on, welcome back.
Okay, good. Yeah, there's it's alien stuff. I'm sad to say, alien or fusion center. No, I was just wondering if what information you have, and maybe Brett knows this too. I've heard all these weird rumors about the Falkland Islands and why the British were willing to go. You know, they were going to go to full.
Well, it gets cut off again.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. Preston. Anybody else there?
I'm here.
I'm here.
We're just waiting to hear from Preston. We're trying to get his question.
All right, let me ask the question because I know what Preston was asking. Okay. Why on earth did the British go all the way down and start a war with Argentina over some stupid islands? They don't need them. Now, is there some sea? Now, these islands are close to Antarctica. We were talking about earlier. So, what's the black goo? Tell us what's going on down there. Why is it valuable?
Well, basically, they can't control it. There is an alien race living underneath the ocean there, and I got to be careful what I say because I've been given information from that's sensitive. But yeah, it's basically black because of the emotional content of it is negative. It's harmful. And it self-assimilates as it comes in contact with different minerals and amino acids and proteins from different animals and structures. It assimilates it into itself and incorporates information. And then it grows. And it communicates through non-physical means with it's in an environment and it's within itself. And it can replicate itself and grow into what it wants.
Is it like an algae?
No. It's a material that's usually sent here by different races. They do this on different planets for different reasons to grow their own bodies.
So what they're doing is they're seeding the ecosystem of the Earth with the way they want it to be. So this is like genetically programmed stuff to come out here and reshape the Earth into something that these alien races want it to be.
It doesn't reshape the Earth. What it does is they send this information packages to different planets. And it contains their physical structure information is contained within this material. And when it finds the materials and amino acids and structures on planets to build a body that can fit the souls and entities of these beings so they can live on in this planet in the physicality. And it takes time to grow. I mean, it depends on the level of the race, how fast they can manipulate it. But there is a lot of animals on this planet that are not originally from here.
Interesting. Like what?
By the way, I have a listener.
Besides the horseshoe crab.
Oh, I'll just say there's some lizards with different colored blood.
Interesting.
Yeah, the horseshoe crab is another one that doesn't belong on this planet.
Yes, that's correct. It's blue blooded.
So, anyway, go ahead, Alex. What was your question?
This is a question for Brett. When is the free energy coming to Africa, or are you just?
It's already there. It's already there in certain countries. You just don't know it yet. It's in Ghana and Nigeria right now that I know of.
Okay.
All right. Well, this person wants.
On what scale is it on, Brett? Is it just demo units, one or two of them, or do they have this?
There's a foundation that's already set up in Nigeria, and Ghana is involved with their space agency there and their government. So I can't get into talking about that though.
Okay.
All right, Preston, are you back with us?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Oh, now you sound excellent. What did you do?
Good. I changed mics.
There you go. Now you sound great.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this whole thing with the Falkland Islands is just very bizarre, and you know, there's so many secrets, and you know, like why can't we know what's going on in Antarctica? Why can't we, you know about the back engineer alien technology? Why are they so afraid to tell us this stuff? That's the real question. Have they been ordered not to? Are we really under occupation by alien ETs? Are our top leadership infested with some parasite? I mean, you look at the Khazarian mafia leader, these wrinkled up old men who have no souls, and all they want to do is kill and maim, and you know, all they want to do is create harm everywhere they go. And you know, it's like they're not even human. It's something overtaking. What is this? Why the secrecy?
It's a good point. Very good point. Why the secrecy?
It's for money and power. Most of these top leaders are involved in these cults and satanic or whatever you want to call it. They operate with these interdimensional beings, but most of these beings have been stuck here on Earth for God knows how long, and they've been from different creations from the past, and they're stuck here. The ones that come from outer space, 99% of them are peaceful.
Well, and the other thing is I've heard from good sources that we have two sets of underground bases. You got the secret shadow government ones by the, you know, American defense privateers, and that's down underground a couple of miles, and it runs 140 bases with high-speed tunnels between them. But down below that is a whole set of alien underground bases, and these creatures are very strange. They smell bad. It's just very strange. You know, why do they, you know, why are they underground? You know, they seem to spend all their time trying to figure out ways to get above ground, but they have to work through one person at a time. All this stuff is so strange, and apparently you know, even presidents we've had have not been provided complete answers to any of this. I guess the last president we had knew the most about it was George Bush Sr., and it's because he was head of the CIA, but he even claimed that he wasn't given, you know, full information on all this. So it's very strange.
Well, all I can say is I don't know what I don't know. I wish they would drop the secrecy. I wish they'd come clean and tell us everything that they know, not just part of the picture. Tell us the whole picture. Tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly, warts and all. Let's get it out there. And if people can't handle it and they freak out, well, then they freak out, you know?
And then you hear these stories of Tesla. There was one story. His neighbor said he had this electric car that had a small antenna coming out of a little black box, and he ran it for like at least 6 months without recharging or doing anything to it, without adding any fuel. There was no internal combustion. All was electric. You know, have you heard anything about that?
Oh, I've heard about it, but I've got no way to substantiate it either, any way or the other.
But I mean, we know the guy was a genius, and we know that when he died or was murdered, looks more like murder, that his paper, the FBI was there and grabbed up all his papers. So,
they got train cars full of papers out of him. I mean, literally train cars full. And the rumor that I've heard, yeah, this is like we're speculating here, guys. This is all fantasy for all you listeners out there. We don't know what we don't know. We're just trying to figure stuff out like everybody else's. That's all I can say.
Well, whatever he had, they wanted it, and they did not want us to have it. So to me, that suggests it was pretty good.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, I discussed this a week or so ago. I think I had Frosty Wooldridge on, and I think that, you know, the human population didn't begin to expand until the advent of the internal combustion engine. And you know what? Everything that we needed to have the internal combustion engine had been here for 10,000 years. Why didn't it occur until around the beginning of the 19th, end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th century? And since then, our stable population, like 1.1 to 1.2 billion, has blossomed. And we've got over 7 going on 8 billion people on the planet now. Why did that happen in the last 120, 130 years? It just strikes me as the timing is odd. What are we being prepared for? Why the spike in human population? We haven't invented anything new. Alex said earlier that most of our technologies that we have, as far as cell phones and computers and fiber optics, came out of ET vehicles. You know, what's the bigger picture? What's really going on here? And these are questions that I think all of us have the right to know.
Oh, that's right. But we also have the right to know just the basic secrets of government, like, you know, what is money? Why, you know, why are we being told that our money is real when it's really fiat counterfeit, and it's a continually elastic, expanding money supply, and we pay interest to use our own money on something that isn't even real money? That lie itself should cause a complete restructuring of our financial system and our government, and these privateers that hijacked our banking should have been booted out a long time ago. That's one of the biggest secrets. The average guy on the street has no clue that he's got nothing but counterfeit crap in his wallet. The only reason it buys anything is because the force of law, because it's mandated by law to be accepted as legal tender. But even then, that's failing, because if you look, what is it now? It's only worth 2.5 cents of what it was originally.
Yeah, it's about that. Yeah, it's lost over 98% of its value since the creation of the Federal Reserve. But you know, that was by design, and the whole purpose here. And look at our not even just our currency, but the coinage. I mean, you know, Preston, when you and I were kids, we had real money. You know, we had silver. I mean, quarters were made out of silver, silver dollars, that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, back in the day then, you know, when I was working minimum wage as a dishwasher for $1.60 an hour, if I was paid in those same silver coins today, it'd be worth like $24-25. That's so, right. You know, what's really happened to us? You know, that's all part of the scam.
Well, it is, and it's all run by the same people. It's these Khazarian bankers and if you trace them back, I have a friend who knows about this. He said, "Oh, it's all the old black nobility families, you know, went back from to Venice and, you know, go all the way back. Apparently, they're impersonators. It's mostly Khazarians and Germans. But the thing is that they're very crafty at manipulating people with fake money. It's a huge Ponzi scheme. Right now, the whole world's caught up in it. Now." You know, it is the fact that we have AIIB and BRICS and all these separate trade unions that do not need the dollar anymore for exchange. Is that prove that people are waking up? Does that prove that the scam has been uncovered?
Well, you tell me. I mean, Alex, what's your opinion?
I think the scam has coming out. I think the internet is woken everybody up. And people that aren't completely woken up have somebody that has at least tried to explain it to them. So I think – but we have to go bankrupt first. Remember, the dollar went from 100 cents per dollar to about 4 cents right now. So, you know, the value – they've looted the U.S. over the last 100 years. And they've stolen half the country on federal land. Which is unconstitutional, I'm sure. So, that's my view.
Well, okay, guys, we got about 12 or 15 minutes left. What do you guys want to talk about for the next few minutes?
Well, I would like to talk about the continuance of the power structure in Washington, D.C., why it's never challenged. Is it because there's so much money funneled, you know, through K Street lobbyists?
Masons.
Is it that... Okay, they have no competition because nobody can come up with enough money to compete in the major media with them? Is that why are these same?
Trump just showed that you don't need them. I mean, I don't know what sort of back deals he had, but he didn't spend much money on advertising. So it doesn't always
with social media.
But Trump spent, you know, years, you know, 20, 30, 40 years building, quote, the Trump brand. So that if you're in, you know, a foreign country and you go to the Trump Tower, you know where, you know who owns the place. And, you know, he spent, you know, decades developing himself as a brand. So to say he hasn't spent much on advertising, maybe not for this political race, but to build himself and his brand, he spent a lot of money over many, many, many decades.
But Alex, why is it so tough to get these people out of there? They get caught in all these scandals and everything else, and it doesn't seem to make any difference. What, 96% of them keep being reelected?
I'm telling you, it's because of the Masons. Even you ask George Washington, he said the Masons came before the U.S. government, before, when he was president. He said, I'm a Mason first. So I'm not trying to be conspiratorial. I'm just saying it's kind of a reality. I mean, if you really look at how everything's cut up all over the, especially D.C. I mean, there are Masonic temples everywhere. There's Masonic, basically everywhere throughout D.C. and Northern Virginia. Even, you know, it's there. It's all documented. So I think that that's part of it. And I mean, also, the people that are keeping those in power in place, they don't, you know, they make their investment and they like to keep their investment. They don't want to have change every two or 6 years. It's not good for them. They like stability. So
what you said about the Freemasons, we know that's true in England because they've been caught that the whole English governmental system has been controlled by Freemasons. We know that. But I didn't think that was a major factor inside D.C. But you make a good point. It very well could be. But the money thing is such a barrier. And, you know, if these people, these power groups have so much money invested, I guess they're going to protect their investment. But what we end up with is all these extreme doofuses, these ridiculous figures that dumb as doornails. And
but that's what they want. Yeah. That's what you want. You want guys that are, you want people, you want men that are easily controllable. Either they're stupid or they have impulses sexually where they're into young children or they're gay. But they're like, you know, Christian, Republican, but they're homosexuals. Like, I mean, there's so many of them that play this, you know, that I love God, I'm Christian, all stuff, but they're into, like, you know, young boys. So that's their control mechanism, you know, behind the scenes. And, you know, who knows who's blackmailing who? It's all speculative. But I would be surprised if like 90% of, or let me rephrase that. I would be surprised if 10% in our U.S. Congress, House and Senate, who's up there, who doesn't have something really, really dirty in their locker, you know?
Well, we've had, there's been two FBI, or two, I should say, federal investigations. And I knew a person that worked on one that was undercover. That was 39% were known pedophiles, easily provable. And the second one was an undercover FBI asset that infiltrated, and that particular in that case it was 42%. And this was from 20 years ago, these two investigations, and I doubt it's changed any. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just part of the blackmail. I think there's all kinds of other things, like if you look at like the Clintons, all the dirty things they did, legal problems and all these things that, you know, it's very easy to blackmail people like that because they've got movies on them. They got all kinds of stuff. All they have to do is go to the media and their image is assassinated within 24 hours. Of course, that's why some of the consultants tell them you got to immunize yourself by, you know, in the right situation, release the fact that you had this problem and whatever. So far, they don't seem to have anything on Donald Trump that will fly. He's admitted that he's had more than one wife. He admitted he likes good-looking women.
Nothing wrong with that.
No,
not a thing. I do too. You know,
owner of what, Miss Universe contest. I mean, you know, and he's admitted that he gave big donations to politicians. And you know, he's kind of an interesting character because he doesn't seem to get defensive at all.
Yeah, he's a, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you know, he's a good show. That's for sure. He
puts we don't really know who's behind him. There are some individual believe that he's the Pentagon's chosen new candidate. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, he would fit well in Washington. I think he's a deal. Like you said, he's a deal maker, and we need somebody who can at least attempt to do deals. The question will be, is he going to destroy the Republican Party by making it so divisive that both – see, he has the potential to also be not a very popular president.
Well, the Republican Party has already destroyed itself by selling out to Israel, okay? They've already destroyed themselves. Let's call a spade a spade.
And the Bushes destroyed it. The Bushes.
I mean, you know, the Bushes are the reasons that I no longer consider myself a Republican, because I cannot associate with people of that low moral character who would do such reprehensible things. I just cannot do it. And so I don't consider myself a Republican anymore. I consider myself an independent and a free thinker.
Both Bushes, though, Bush 1 and Bush 2, they working together destroyed the Republican Party. Bush won mean Arkansas, all the drug dealing, Iran-Contra, all the crap. He was involved in the Kennedy assassination, and Bush, too, with 9-1-1 and all the garbage. But, you know, they're a major force. And, of course, the Clintons worked for them because George Bush Sr. was the Clintons' case officer. They're both career CIA. So, really, this everything has been CIA-Nazi ever since they murdered Kennedy. The only break we had was Reagan, and then when he started going off the reservation, they took.
Well, I actually started before that when they threw Forrestal out the window of the Bethesda, Maryland.
But that's because of the event High Jump. That's one of the reasons he wanted to tell everybody that we got our butt kicked by alien spaceships. Forrestal and Hyde, right, Admiral Hyde.
That's well. They wouldn't accept. They wouldn't accept the secrecy. Apparently,
they didn't want. They wanted the American people to know. That's why Forrestal was allegedly. That was one of the reasons why they allegedly threw him out the window. So, unfortunate.
So we don't really know, you know, what's going to happen. And then you get into this whole thing of vote faking. Now, in my state, there's been a tremendous amount of, in Minnesota, tremendous amount of electronic vote fraud where they don't count the machines properly. And I told this one voting judge I knew about it and how she, you know, it was her responsibility to verify everything. And she tried to and was heavily leaned on and immediately afterwards quit and actually moved out of the state to another state with her and her husband. So apparently, and didn't, and would not talk about it. So apparently, if you assert your rights as a election judge, they're going to come after you very hard.
Let me say this about that, because I was a candidate. I ran for a statewide election. I was actually on the ballot. And I'm telling you, when they lean on you, they lean on you hard. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, but I'm just too stubborn and stupid to quit. That's just kind of how it is. So, you know, I mean, it's just that's just me.
But the other thing that, just real quick, the other thing I wanted to – you know what? It's late. I'm losing my train of thought. But we were talking about the election thing. Anyway, go ahead. If I think about it, I'll jump back in.
Okay, but the vote fraud stuff is a big deal. It's electronic voting. And, you know, like one of the companies that made – Bally made voting machines, and the guy that ran it was English, who was a mob.
The thing of it is, Bally is also who makes casino machines. You know, those slot machines are all electronic now, and the casino can sit back there and dial in how much they want to win or lose. I mean, if the casino's empty, they'll turn it up so people win more. If the casino's packed, they'll turn it down so they lose less. I mean, that's how it works. This is a interconnected, programmable systems, and if Bally's making them, you know that they're corrupt or crooked, if you will.
Well, that's right. And Diebold got, you know, caught, and the one Republican guy that was involved in faking the data, writing the programs to fake it. He was blown out of the sky, I think, or he was assassinated.
Yeah, the guy from Ohio.
Yeah, he was going to go forth and talk. Yeah, and he.
Yeah, they got they killed him.
Yeah, he claimed that all electronic voting was completely fake from the get go, like major faking.
I believe that.
Same here. I can't see absolutely.
I mean, those things are not complicated to hack. I mean, you can hack anything. I'm sure they could hack those.
Absolutely, and the thing is, it's like playing, like I said, any of the machines in any casino. Those the new modern slot machines are not honest. They're just not. The casino can adjust them as they see fit. And I heard during the last election with Obama, or the election with Obama and McCain, is that they were too busy stealing each other's votes. That's why the it took so long to get the results in certain states. Because one group would steal them, the other group would steal them back. They'd steal them and steal them back. They were toggling back and forth trying to get a result. They were competing with each other for who was going to steal the election.
Well, that's right. And, of course, you have foreign powers involved paying money. I mean, one of the things about Sybil Edmonds, and, you know, which we don't have the full story because she's still restricted under national security. But what she said was the Turkish government was paying massive bribes to certain senators and congressmen, you know, for all kinds of manipulations, illegal things that were done.
And that's the same Turkish government that's a sponsor of terrorism called ISIS and stealing oil out of Iraq and Syria. That's right. Turkish government. Huh. Funny how that works, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, and funny how she was gagged, and if she had been allowed to go public, or if the FBI had actually done something about it, there wouldn't have been any ISIS.
You know, that's the going story here. You know, between Sybil Edmonds, Gwyneth Todd, and others. You know, Susan Lindauer. There's some very, very brave women out there who've done some courageous things to try to keep this company country on the straight and narrow. Anyway, gentlemen, we're out of time. I want to thank you both very much. It's been indeed a pleasure. Everybody have a great day, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye bye.